Jonathan Peterlin joins the show coming up in about 20 minutes. We got a big day for you guys. Obviously, we talked some Browns here, but we do have Game 2 ALDS, Guardians and Tigers. Pretty significant game. I don't know why I said it like you don't know that. But not only do I have JP for the final 3 hours of this show, but of course, as the Guardians wrap up this game, you're going to hear him from 7 to 8 tonight. We do have Monday Night Football. And now that I'm done ranting about the Browns, all right, we're going to put that away. Oh, for probably about, I'd say probably about at least 20 minutes. But I think there's a lot to look for in Game 2 that I think are really intriguing parts of this. And I was just teasing Jake Volnick, Big Weege, who was part of our Saturday post-game for the Guardians, where I was like, all right, on one hand, there wasn't a lot of analysis to that game. You kicked the crap out of them. They really didn't pose a serious threat. So you might say, maybe not the best game, you know, a little bit frustrating of a game to have that. On the other hand, they just got to go full homer. It's got to fully be like, man, how great are we? I guess Jim Costa of the ticket in Detroit wasn't right about how quick this game was going to go. Now, in fairness, he did say they were going to go back to Detroit tied at ones, so there's still that opportunity. But I will tell you, this game, one, I expected to be tighter. And I'm interested to see how both teams react. I think the Guardians just wailed on the Tigers because they were just ready. This is where I think you got to give Stephen Vogt a lot of credit. That team came out of the gates ready to kick somebody's ass. Whether it was Kwan and Fry both getting on the base to start the game, whether it was Lane Thomas coming up in the fifth at bat and smacking the hell out of a baseball. Honestly, guys, even Tanner Bibee, and Tanner didn't look great in game one, but he just battled. Like, I mean, I think if you look at what he was trying to do, he was trying to establish the high fastball early in that game. And when you watch him, I think it was like, if you guys remember watching Roger Clemens, most of Roger Clemens' oopsies came in like the first two innings because he was so revved up. I thought that was what was going on with Tanner. And he did settle down and he went, I mean, he gave you just as much as you possibly could get for a first playoff series start, a first playoff start ever. But I think, okay, do you tighten up knowing that Scooble's on today? And I think, listen, I think knowing that Scooble is really good at mixing up his pitches and keeping you guessing because of how he disguises pitches, I think you could sell me of you're going to continue to be aggressive but sit on a specific pitch, albeit the changeup, albeit the fastball. Or if I can't say don't be aggressive because you have to be against him, but you still have to continue. And the thing that I thought they still didn't crack in the final 20 regular season games was the balance between I'm going to try and moonshot this thing, and right now we only need like a single or a double. And so I think that's something to watch for, is even if you get to Scooble, even if you get guys on base, are you patient when you get them there so that you can bring them home, even if it's the old National League way of moving runners along? But I do think I have, and this is Detroit is not an accidental team. This is a good baseball team. I think one of the biggest things to watch is how does this Detroit team respond to that loss? And I threw this out there to start the hour. But quite frankly, guys, I don't care if you lost a game to the White Sox down the stretch or the A's down the stretch or even a playoff-type game down the stretch. Do not care. What I care about is once you get into the postseason, if you're the youngest and hottest team in baseball, when you lose in the postseason, it is different. It brings about different pressure because all of a sudden, when you're up a game that nobody expected you to be on the Astros, and you've got a chance to go ahead and finish them off, guys, you're playing with house money. Today it feels real. So do the Tigers come out tight in any way, right? Does Scooble feel the pressure? Yeah, he was great in the regular season, but guys, again, it's an opportunity for him to show that he's an ace. There's a lot of pressure on him. I'm not saying he can't do it, but this is why we watch the games. I also wonder whether you're going to have to play from behind today, just given the fact that you've got Matthew Boyd going. And obviously, Skubal is not just a better pitcher, but a far better pitcher at this point in their respective careers. Skubal is the Cy Young winner. Matthew Boyd was a guy that was available in July coming off Tommy John for a reason. And even though we saw a lot of really good things from Matthew Boyd early, he was given the quick hook early in his last two or three starts of the season. I don't know if that was hitting the wall. I don't know if that was the rest of the league finding out some of that I'm going to fool you stuff that he kind of tries to get away, that he has to get away with. It's not like he's a deception artist. He's not like a neocon or something like that. I don't even know what that word means. It just felt right in the moment. I think, game one proved that if you give the Guardians a lead, first, you're not going to sniff winning. Not least as the Detroit Tigers, right? The Yankees are different because of their power across the board. There are several teams in the NL that are going to be different because of the power. But at least with this Tigers team, you cannot cede any amount of a 2 or 3 run lead, especially early in a game. But I think this game might give you the opportunity where you have to play from behind. And that, I think, is interesting. Because, there were a lot of great at-bats in that first inning. And I think sporadically in game one, you saw the bats have a couple moments where they almost put it together again. Obviously, you got the late home run, which put it 7-0. But you've got to put 9 innings of consistent quality at-bats in approach. And especially if you get behind to Skubal, especially with this guy, you've got to keep at it. Whether you're going to be super aggressive or not, super aggressive doesn't just mean you swing early and count. Super aggressive means whether you're sitting on a fastball to try and drive it 400 feet or whether you're just trying to get another person on base. So I think whether the Guardians can or cannot play from behind, I think matters not just in this, but for how this whole thing goes. 216-474-0092. What are the things you're looking for here in game two? I think how does Detroit respond to a loss is huge. And I think that, by the way, this is a big part of the difference between a sweep and a full series. They're a young team. I'm not saying that I expect them to lay down, but it also wouldn't surprise me because that does happen to young teams in the playoffs. I think how long of a leash you have on Matthew Boyd, I think matters. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I think they're probably going to treat Matthew Boyd the way Holton got treated in game one, which is we're going to have him out there until you get into any sort of problem, and knowing Skubal's going, you're going to have the quick hook on him. Then I think what's really interesting is if you have to pull a quick hook, where do you go first? I heard somebody compare Cade Smith to Andrew Miller from 2016, like their usage of him. This would be a series where, whether it's 2 innings in, 4 innings in, if you have to go to that pen in a crucial moment, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw Cade Smith early. And then I think it's, even if you can hit Skubal, can you turn however many hits into runs? Because in that one start that you saw him this year, you got 10 hits, you got 1 run. And then I think, and this is the last one that I have, we'll get JP's thoughts on this. We obviously will get back to some football here in a moment. But what does A.J. Hinch do if Skubal gives up 2 or more runs early? I don't expect the Guardians to get at him early. But if they do, if you go 2-3 runs up, is he going to be as defensive with his defensive rotations and maybe even pulling a quick hook on Skubal? I would imagine you don't have that. You give him more leeway than anyone in baseball. I just think that's a fascinating thing to watch for as well. 216-474-0092. What are the things to watch for in game two? Guardians, Tigers here in Cleveland within the next 15 minutes here. More on that. JP joins the show next on 92.3 The Fan.